Hi, welcome to this week's episode of Shahira's Chatcast. I'm so excited to say that today's guest is the amazing and inspiring Felicia Day. She's a merit scholar, classical violinist, actress. She went to University of Texas on a full scholarship with a double major in music performance and math. She's created her own TV series, owns her own multimedia production company, and she has just written a book, You're Never Weird on the Internet, Almost, which will be available August 11th. We are so excited to have Felicia on today. There isn't much she hasn't done, and we're super excited to get this started.
Welcome to the Shahira's Podcast. We want to empower young girls of all backgrounds to dream big, explore their interests, and passionately pursue non-traditional careers. On the Shahira's Podcast, we hope to help girls imagine their own potential by sharing the stories of exceptional, successful women role models across all fields, like Sally Ride. We believe if you can't see it, you can't be it. Welcome to the Shahira's Podcast.
Thank you so much for calling in and chatting with me today. I know your schedule is absolutely crazy, so I totally appreciate it.
No worries. I am happy to talk about something I put so much work into.
Probably a month or two back on the Shahira's Facebook page, we shared a photo of you that kind of had, bullet points of some of the cool things you've done, you know, majoring in math, majoring in music, being a gamer, creating your own TV show, classic violinist, just, you know, kind of listed off the bullet points of all the cool stuff you've done. And it ended up being our most shared, most liked, and most commented post since we've been on Facebook. I mean, well over 2,000 likes. And the majority of those comments were women and girls coming in going, oh, yeah, I love to game, or, oh, yeah, I play violin too, or I majored in math. So it was just, you really reach across the board to girls, who all different types of girls, different personalities. So it was a no-brainer to see if we could get you on with us today.
Oh, well, that's awesome. I think I actually saw that post. And, yeah, it's really cool to be able to open up a door for people by just being myself and liking the things that I like. And I think too many times in this world, the idea of what you are on the outside influences what you choose to do with your life. And really, it's about what's inside and what you're interested in and what you're passionate about that will be the most meaningful thing in your life. So I hate to see somebody abandon something because people say it's not what a girl does, or have prejudices, unconscious or conscious, about the way you were born. That shouldn't influence what you do with your life.
The big thing you've got going on right now is your book that is going to be available on August 11th. You're Never Weird on the Internet, Almost, which I read and absolutely love. Was writing a book about your life something you had thought about for a long time, or was it kind of an idea that just kind of fell into your lap one day fairly recently? Recently, I mean, before you started.
It was never on my radar to write a memoir. I do love reading autobiographies of other people because, especially if they're inspiring to you, seeing what they've gone through to get to their success is helps you overcome the setbacks and barriers that you might encounter yourself. So I'm a fan of autobiographies, but I never really thought about doing my own. Actually, I've always wanted to write a book, but probably more fictional because I'm a huge reader myself. I read lots of fantasy and sci-fi and romance, and it's the way I spend my time. So the reason I wrote a book was because frequently over the last couple of years, after being online and doing what I do for so many years, a lot of people were looking to me to do speeches, to do presentations about not only making content for the web, but sort of being out of the box, embracing your creativity. And when I meet people after these speeches, to see that the journey I've been through had an impact on them inspired me to try to put it in a more permanent form so that it would maybe last beyond, you know, my fame. But and even if it's just one person reads it and enjoys it and maybe makes different choices or is brave enough to create, I think it would be worth a year of my life writing it.
Well, it was a great book, I have to say. And my next question is kind of So you wrote the book to kind of share your story with other people who had been, you know, asking, and like you said, but what was the process like for you personally? Because writing a memoir is really revisiting everything, your childhood, your adolescence, the good, the bad, the ugly. Kind of what was that process like for you to revisit everything, revisit your life and put it down on paper?
I think I'm a much better person now that I've been through that process. It's kind of a year of self-therapy that I went through. And the most valuable thing was looking at my life in an objective way and always thinking, how is this useful to someone else versus let's put down the emotion of what I experienced. Let's just tell some funny stories. I wanted to make sure that each chapter and each incident that I shared had a deeper meaning that someone could take away from it. And on top of that, made them laugh a lot. So there were two tiers I was going for. One creative, because I love comedy, and one more meaningful that made it useful to other people versus me just talking about myself, because that's way too much.
Well, one of the other things I wanted to ask you about was gaming, a huge part of your life, and you talk a bit about it in the book also. You created the guild based on your experiences gaming, so I kind of wanted to ask, how do you think gaming has changed since you were a kid, a teenager gaming, especially the number of girls who are, I don't know if we have more girls gaming now or if it's just more girls who are actively gaming and vocal about it, but how do you think it's changed in that aspect since you were a teenage girl gaming?
I was homeschooled, so I didn't really know people around me physically who were gamers except for my brother. There were some incidents, and I actually tell about this in the book, where I've met people that I've met online in person, but really I kind of grew up in a vacuum. So I just enjoyed what I enjoyed without other people having an opinion about it, really, which was kind of freeing in a way. So certainly I've seen a huge shift in the demographics of gaming and just the size of gaming culture. I mean, gaming not only is one of the biggest businesses in entertainment now, but it is a lot more mainstream in that people from all walks of life are gamers, especially since mobile emerged. And I think the diversity of the kinds of games is kind of in a renaissance. Like the indie game scene is, I think, rivals anything about indie film or even, visual art that's out there now, indie music. So I think it's matured as an art form, and I think the demographics have gotten broader. And I think that's fantastic because it's inviting more people to feel like they can have a voice in the gaming and their creativity or business aspirations are more inclusive and just broader. So I think it's fantastic because, of course, when I'm gaming instead of watching TV.
Definitely. Let's see. Speaking of kind of gaming and the guild, one of my favorite parts of the book personally was kind of reading about the process of writing the guild and then creating it and choosing to create it as a web series and the production. So I kind of wanted to ask you just in general about the challenge of taking, just creating something based on your passion, just creating it from scratch and building it into a web series. What was the most challenging part, and what was the thing that you enjoyed the most about that process of basically creating that piece of art from scratch?
I mean, a lot of it is in the book. I mean, there were so many barriers to our success, and really there's a lot more templates to look at nowadays, 8 years later, because web video is not a foreign concept to everyone. I mean, back then, trying to convince somebody that actually gamers are online and they can talk to each other while they game was such a foreign concept. And the idea that you could have web video online that wasn't that web video at all, really, I mean, YouTube had just started a year and a half before we uploaded. So it was a lot of education and overcoming barriers. I guess the biggest challenge was in the chapter where I just decided to write and finish something. I mean, really, that was the biggest barrier because I had so many inhibitions about being creative in that way and sort of feeling like I didn't have a right to put something down on page. It was scary to actually finish something and not just stop myself every second because it wasn't perfect. So, I mean, once I finished that process and the fulfillment that I felt on completion, that was really the biggest barrier. And then when I found that sense of meaning and sense of community and making the show with my friends, that was the... That was hard, but it felt like possible at that point. So I guess whenever anyone asks me, like, how do I start creating, I always tell them just see something through regardless of whether anyone will see it or not. Don't think about the end result. Really enjoy the process of putting something brand new down on paper. And if you can surround yourself with people who are doing the same thing, you guys can support each other through all the hard times, because no one creates out of joy all the time. It's just, I think that's unrealistic.
You're making me inspired just having this conversation.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, to dust out my unfinished novel that's sitting here on the computer as well.
I think I'm compare ourselves to other people who have already gone through the process and see their finished product and think, why can't I be like that instantly? But you don't really understand how hard it is for that person to have arrived there and what they're struggling with. So everyone's journey is individual, and you have to find it in yourself to do it for yourself, regardless of what you think other people will get from it.
Well, I have another question kind of related to the book, in the sense that you do a lot of things we've already talked about, you go into much further detail about in the book, and you share a lot of stories from a lot of different points in your life. But were there any stories you'd be willing to tell right now, that anything that didn't make it into the book?
Oh my gosh, a lot. I mean, I did, you know, have a very good outline when I'm going into it, but, you know, I combined some chapters, and I had a whole chapter on Dr. Horrible that was awesome, but it didn't really fit with the journey of my own creativity in an organic way. I had some longer stories about fans of the Guild who were completely invaluable as far as getting the show made and out there, like my webmaster, Edgar, and our podcaster, Kenny, who was doing Talking Guild way before that happened. So, you know, and that just was a little bit maybe too specific for the general person who didn't know my work to really get into. So, yeah, I think any piece of creativity is a process. And I was very thankful for my editor, Lauren, who helped guide me into a place where anybody who was not familiar with my work could pick up my book and understand it. And then parkour fans would get everything that they hadn't learned about me in it, too. So I'm really proud of it. And I appreciate any author now more, because the process of writing a book is much more challenging than even making a huge TV series, I think.
Do you think you'll write another one?
Definitely not about myself, but I would love to write a fiction book. That would be pretty fantastic. I'm a big reader, like I said, and having a fictional book talking about another character going through some probably fantasy romance situation, well, probably on my bucket list in the next couple years, maybe.
Oh, well, I look forward to catching that as well, and I'll be ready to read. I want to chat a little bit about Geek and Sundry, because that's your super successful multimedia production company. And we've actually chatted a bit about it on this podcast before, when we had Meredith from Smart Girls at the Party on the show.
Oh, wonderful. And, I love that.
Yeah, we had her on right before Comic-Con. So she was very excited about kind of teaming up with you guys at Comic-Con, at Petco Park, and all the good stuff you guys did at Comic-Con and everything. So I kind of wanted to ask you just, so much of what you've done has been kind of from a creative place, and Geek and Sundry has done a lot of creative stuff, but running a business is so much more formal. So what's it been like? And again, this is something you go into more detail about in the book as well, but kind of what's it been like to balance that creative versus business and running your own company?
I mean, certainly a company is a completely different skill set, and I jumped into that as just like I do everything else, with very little practical skills, but all sorts of drive. And I've learned so much in the last 4 years that since just coming up with the idea of Geek and Sundry, I'm a much more balanced person, and I appreciate a lot of other people's skill sets more, because I am not good at a lot of things that a business requires. And the wonderful thing about where I am now is that I have fantastic people working with and for me that allow me to focus more on just the creative phase, which I consider my forte. Everything from business development to making sure the brand is getting out there in different ways to payroll. And the cool thing is, you know, I do work with a very big company now, Legendary, and our corporate structure is very different from what I'm used to. But since we're still in digital, I feel like they have the right mindset as far as being very inventive and impulsive And they're allowing us to really fill out Geek and Sundry as a business in a way that I didn't know I would ever have the resources to do. So we have full-time editorial staff now making all sorts of awesome blog content. We're branching out into bigger productions on different platforms besides YouTube. We're really focusing on our live streaming on Twitch. So we're able to work on more platforms than just YouTube and really become the company that services our fans wherever they are, which is kind of what I always dreamed about when, you know, I started the idea of doing more than one web series at the time.
Do you guys have anything big in the works that you can kind of hint at for us today? Any big projects on the horizon?
We have a half-hour comedy that I'm working on that I'm going to direct the pilot of that I'm sure we'll have more about. And we have a couple of really big, more tentpole shows, kind of like tabletop in the works. And we're just really focusing on what our fans like. We have an amazing community, and I just want to make sure that we're exploring all kinds of video and content for them, whether it's in person or online.
Well, I have a couple questions for you that are kind of my go-to questions that I always ask women that are on the show. My first is, who was a woman or the first woman that comes to mind that inspired you when you were growing up, for and why?
Wow, that's a really good question. I mean, I think that, I talk about my aunt some in the book, and she inspired me to get into acting. And I mentioned Nora Ephron in the book as someone who was behind the scenes as a woman who inspired me to get into filmmaking and made me brave enough to think that I could be behind the camera as well as in front of it. I mean, really, the most inspiring people, though, are the teachers that I had, my dance teacher, my violin teacher, my English teacher that I had a tutor, you know. I think teachers are very undervalued, and you know, I think a teacher can make or break the interest of a kid when they're growing up and lead them down one path or another just based on the way they nurture or discourage somebody. And if it weren't for certain teachers and directors and things like that, I would not be where I am today for sure. So I think that more we can value are the people who educate us when we're kind of vulnerable and looking for a direction to go, the better.
I couldn't agree more. Totally. My next question is, if you had a superpower, what would it be?
Oh, wow. Well, I definitely would want to speak all languages because I just think that's really impressive. And I'm always jealous of spies in like James Bond and Mission Impossible who could just break out any language. yeah, I think that would be, or like just suck the ability out of somebody's head, like just for 10 minutes. So if I could be, go up to a pianist and be like, boom, I can play the piano. That would be kind of great. I'm not sure. I think there is a superhero who can do that, but I can't remember the name of him.
I bet I could ask my kids and they would probably be able to name him. And my last question is, what advice do you have to give to girls who are looking to follow their dream or struggling to follow their dream?
I think that you have to make sure that your dream is something that's yours versus like something that someone else is telling you that you should want, or you are looking at the end result of someone's work and you want their success but don't want their process. I think that's super important to check yourself and make sure that you're being motivated and your dream is being motivated in the right way. You know, we look at actresses and reality stars and writers and presidents and we think we want that success, that what we have in our idea, in our head as to their success. But, you know, you have to sign up for the day-to-day work. And that's something I've come to learn over the years, that I had a lot of preconceived notions about my personal success and where I wanted to be. And sometimes that wasn't actually the work of doing to get there. So that would be my first step. And then know that if you're trying to do something out of the box or something unusual, especially based on who you are and how you were born, you're going to encounter a lot of resistance as you go along. But if you have that in your heart, that sense of meaning, you have to be on this path. It's much easier to overcome resistance from people or negativity or barriers that we're always going to encounter. And surrounding yourself with positive people who are encouraging is the way to get through those times as well.
Oh, I think that's, me personally, I think that's the piece of advice that I wish I had heard more often when I was younger, was surrounding yourself with positive people, because that just ripple effects onto everything else.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. And again, your book, You're Never Weird on the Internet Almost, will be available on August 11th. And you are, on top of everything else, you are currently in the midst of a book tour. So people can just visit your website for upcoming dates, correct?
Yeah, they can visit FeliciaDayBook.com. That has all the events. Or you can go to my Facebook page, Facebook.com/FeliciaDay. And there's an events tab on the left. Where you can see everywhere I am, even after this, throughout the year. And I'm really excited. It's going to be a whirlwind tour, but hopefully I'll get some good food and some nice, awesome interactions as I go around the country. I'm sorry, Midwest.
Oh.
I'm scared of you. I apologize.
I see, we're here in the Bay Area, so I was one of the lucky ones who could go, I think I'll go to this one.
We're about there, yeah. It's good, though, because I love... That's the one place I have a lot of friends, so having more time there is kind of fun for me.
And again, thank you so much for doing this. I so appreciate it, and I look forward to just following what you have coming in the future.
Thank you so much. Have a good day. I'll see you in San
Francisco. Okay, I'll see you in a couple weeks. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the She Heroes podcast. Please join us again, and don't forget to visit us on the web at www.sheheroes.org. See you next time.